You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We're glad you're listening in today, or if it's your evening or mid-afternoon, thank you.
We are glad to be talking to you again this week and connecting with you. And today we're going to wrap up our discussions and our teaching about polygamy.
That's right.
So we've been going over that for the last couple of weeks. And last week we talked about if polygamy is in the Bible, does that mean God allows it? So we kind of walked through that last week. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, you want to go back and listen to that episode from last Tuesday. That'll be a great one for you to kind of take in, and it gives you a perspective about how God sees that and the examples in the Bible about that. But this week, the question becomes, and as we wrap this up, what happens when a polygamist finds Jesus?
That's a good question. It's a very practical one.
Yeah.
That can actually, as you know from your travels to Tanzania and Kenya, something that they struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a spiritual struggle.
And it could be more than just, you know, the African continent. It could be, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Asian continent as well, or any place in the world. So, you know, we do have polygamy that's happening. I think there's some modern versions of that, which we talked about that here. Like they're called polyamorous relationships, just being in love with more than one person, so on and so forth. So there's just different ways to look at that. Open marriages. But just strictly in the word of polygamy, that definition of that. So what happens then if a person, a man, a woman, who is a polygamist finds Jesus? What takes place? I mean, I think the easy thing for a lot of people is to give an answer like, well, he or she should divorce all of his wives or all of her husbands but one. Yeah, that's an easy answer, but it's a lot more complicated than that. It seems ethical. I mean, when we make that statement, that seems pretty ethical to do that, right? If you get convicted by Jesus and you become a believer of Jesus Christ, you know, maybe that's the logical thing that you should do. But a lot of times the solution and the situation really isn't quite that simple.
Not quite that simple.
It's not that easy.
Because lives are at stake.
Lives are at stake, absolutely. So it's like, okay, well, which wife or which husband do they keep? We'll just use, to keep it simple, we're just going to use a he.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just do that.
So which wife does he keep? Okay, that's a great question. His first wife? Does he keep his first wife? Does he keep his last wife? Does he keep his favorite wife? I mean,
ouch.
We saw about that in the scriptures last week.
Jacob,
Leah, and Rachel.
Loved and unloved.
Yep. You had Leah, who was the unloved spouse, or the wife of Jacob, and then you had the loved spouse of Rachel. So these are real issues. The wife that has borne him the most children.
That's touchy.
So how does a person choose? Now, again, we're coming from a perspective here that they weren't a believer in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Now they have become a believer in Jesus Christ, or there's been a revelation come about that,
absolutely,
about the truth of God's word, that it's really one man and one woman. So it's not just this simple, we'll just divorce everybody and then keep
right,
one wife. Well, which wife do you choose?
Right. Well, and what about the wives he divorces? Mm-hmm. You know, how do they provide for themselves?
Yeah.
You know, especially over in Africa, you know, where it's very difficult for a woman to bring in a wage.
And they don't have the same opportunities that men do to work.
Yeah, like we were saying, in most cultures that allow polygamy, a previously married woman has very little opportunity to provide for herself and even fewer possibilities of finding a new husband.
Right.
And what happens to the children of these wives?
Exactly.
What happens there? So the situation is often very, very difficult, as you can imagine, and there's rarely a simple solution for it.
It's very complicated. These are challenging questions that, you know, yes, I think just simple logic, as I said before, just divorce all wives except for one, or divorce all husbands except for one.
Well, that bodes well if you're the favorite or you're the first, or you bore them the most children. But, you know, I'm trying to put myself in that situation and how brokenhearted I would be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe still... even hate God because of that. Yeah. You know, he's found Jesus, and we're using mm-hmm. a man here, could be the woman. He's found Jesus, and now I'm out. Now I'm destitute. Now I'm broke, and my kids are starving.
Exactly. So, I mean, because they've been in this relationship, right? Obviously, they've had sexual relations. Mm-hmm. There's been an emotion.
There's all that to think about.
Right. There's an emotional attachment. There's obviously the provision that the man has been providing for all of the wives and the children. And so, and then, okay, you know, I don't know how the man does it, quite honestly. But, again, he's providing for all of his children. Mm-hmm. He probably has some type of relationship with his children. And mm-hmm. so now he decides that he's because he has this conviction, he's leaving all but one. Mm-hmm. And so these children now that are being left because they haven't been chosen, their mother hasn't been chosen, now they're becoming abandoned mm-hmm. and rejected.
Yeah.
And so it just brings in a host of
trauma.
Other issues.
My goodness.
Not to say that there's not issues going to be there anyway, but... You know, just think about the ramifications mm-hmm. of just a simple-minded mm-hmm. decision about something like this. It's
so
very complicated.
What we're not saying is we're pro-polygamy because of these, what we're saying.
No,
what we're saying is it's not a simple solution. Let's stay on topic and stay focused and narrow down to what we're talking about. It's not as simple as just stop it.
Yeah. So... I guess to keep things moving in our conversation, so mm-hmm. if a man has multiple wives and he does become a Christian, mm-hmm. what is he supposed to do?
So we've got to look at it from a couple different perspectives.
We do. So the first one we're going to talk about is if polygamy is illegal, mm-hmm. illegal in the nation, the country that this person lives, he should do whatever is necessary to submit to the law of his country. So let's read what Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 says. And let me pull that up real quick. Sorry. So it says, again, this is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And you can read out through verse 7. But it's talking about respect for authority. It said, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. Verse 4, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So that's one of the situations. So, you know, so you've got this man, he's got many wives.
And it's illegal where he's living.
And it's illegal where he's living. Mm-hmm. What should he do? Well, what a person should do in this case, and this is what we're believing should happen, is that he needs to submit to the law of the land.
Mm-hmm. And the law of the land where he's living is polygamy is illegal.
Is polygamy. So he should, at that point, he's going to have to make a choice then to divorce some wives.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Because he's operating against what the authorities have instituted for the law of their land. And so, but here's the key. He cannot, as a Christian, not continue to provide for his
exactly.
other wives that he had and yep. his children.
Yep.
So you just can't leave them and abandon them and right. say, I don't have any responsibility for you now.
Right.
That's not right either. So
no, not at all.
He should be obeying the law of the land that he's living in.
That's right.
And divorce all wives except one, and then provide for his other wives and his children.
That's right.
So that they're left alone and abandoned.
So that is if it's illegal where these people are living. So let's look at, so you've got to look at it, like I said, from two perspectives. One is it legal where I am? Or is it illegal where I am? So we just talked about the illegal side of things. What if polygamy is legal, but he's convicted by Holy Spirit that's wrong? And this is what we're this is our biggest hope, right? You know, that there's conviction there, you know, and what we're bringing to you is that he also should divorce all but one wife. And again, not neglect the other wives or their children, because they are his responsibility and they will continue to be his responsibility till the day he dies, or they remarry. And, and, you know, his children are his responsibility till legally age 18 or whatever. So, kind of the same thing, but still this man is convicted. It's the wrong thing to do. I know, Holy Spirit, Jesus is asking me to do something about this, and this is how you can handle it. And there's really, it's a no-win situation for those that are being, I will say, cast out. It is a lose-lose all the way around, and it's because of consequences from choices that were made to enter into this type of relationship, whether it was, you know, your family was polygamous, it came from a family of, you know, down the line. You know, it is your responsibility to live according to the Word of God. And we had talked about what the Word of God said last week. So
how marriage about, is for one man
and one woman. So what if it's legal, but he's not convicted?
So that's another great, I guess, scenario. So it is legal. So the first one was it's illegal in the country that he lives. A second one is it's legal, but he's been convicted by the Spirit of God to actually divorce all wives except for one. The last scenario is polygamy is legal, but there's no conviction by the Spirit, or at least there's not been a sensing, a revelation of that
yet
in his life. So what should he do at that point? What should happen if it's legal and there's no conviction? Well, he should continue to remain married to each of the wives, treating each one with love and dignity and respect, but not marry any additional women.
That's right. Now, mind you, we're saying he's not convicted. So Holy Spirit hasn't worked in his life yet to convict him that this is wrong. So he's not going to make a decision based off of biblical, foundational biblical principles, but off of what he's going on as far as what he believes.
So I would say in the cases of two and three, so again, the first one was it's illegal, do what the government's telling you to do. But in the cases of you're now a Christian, you've been convicted by the Spirit, and I'm going to make the assumption that the third one is you're a believer and you've been convicted by the Spirit. This is what you should do in these particular scenarios. The man needs to teach his children and others God's ideal for marriage. That's really what should happen at this point. Once the truth is made known to you and it's been revealed to you about what God's word says, it's your responsibility at this point not to further this into the next generation.
And I think for all of these cases that we're talking about, that should be the end goal, that you stop, you know, whether
really
it's
should.
Illegal, whether you're convicted, whether you're not convicted and it's legal. I mean, tomato, tomato, the end goal is we know this is not God's original plan for marriage. That is not his ideal for marriage. It's something that will not bring blessing upon your life and upon your children and their children and their children, unless this is stopped. And so if you have a life to live out because of choices that you've made with multiple wives and children and families, stand up, take a stand, and stop it with your generation. Teach your children the right way. Teach your children that God's original plan for marriage is one man and one woman, as it says in Genesis 2, 24, I believe.
Yeah, 2:24.
And you can make sure and ensure their blessings with the Lord, their blessings. So that's really why we're here, right? So our children will have better than us.
Well, not only that, it's just all the things we talked about from last week where you just have all this pain and suffering and bitterness and resentment because of trying to manage all the different relationships with the wives and trying to make everybody happy. That's another thing that has to be taught is that also the challenges of living a life of polygamy, it brings. And so not only do we bring the truth of God's word, but we also bring the reality and the practicality of the struggles and challenges mm-hmm. that a polygamous lifestyle mm-hmm. brings into
exactly.
it. Exactly. And the children need to understand that.
They do.
So that it stops.
And, you know, if you're out there and you're in a polygamous relationship, there's no judgment here. But we want you to know that it can stop with you. And your children and your wives are far more valuable than to give them a quarter of your time. Mm-hmm. In your lifetime, let's just say, you know,
yeah.
Because you're separating your time and you're, you know, that's just one little piece of the mm-hmm. time. I'm not talking about the emotional side of things. So, but it can stop with you. Teach your children God's ideal for marriage.
Amen. So here's a big question. Yeah. Let's say this polygamist who finds Jesus has been maybe in a position or has been in a position of leadership.
Well, let's just say he's a good man. You know, he's a good-hearted man. He loves the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this little hang-up with multiple wives.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, he's such a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid. He's a good guy. Can't he be an elder?
Yeah. So what does the Bible say? You know, mm-hmm. what about positions of leadership in the church? Can a person who's in a polygamous relationship serve as a leader in the church? And so we need to look at what the Bible says. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go to verses 11 and 12. So we'll skip some of the scriptures, but this is what it says about that. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader, sorry, I read the wrong scripture. So this is a faithful saying, starting in verse 1 again. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, which is an overseer, a leader, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. So
I have a question that pops in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that scripture says the husband of one wife.
Right.
Why did they find that important to put that in the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason things are in the Bible. And,
right.
And it's because of this polygamist issue.
One of the reasons. But it's also, in the original language, it's talking about being faithful to one woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's still the same point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So it still carries the same message and meaning. So if we look down to qualifications for deacons, which are also leaders within the church, it says, likewise, this is verse 11, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of one wife,
mm-hmm.
ruling their children and their own houses well. So here you go. You have two scriptures that are highlighting leadership positions in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul is talking about this. He's trying to educate people and mm-hmm. let them know what's necessary for a person to be a leader in
That's
the
right.
life. These are qualifications for leaders in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yes, the person may be a good person. They may be a good man. But that doesn't necessarily overwrite
no.
what has taken place or what is happening if they're in a still remain in a polygamous relationship.
So to summarize that, a man who makes this decision to be a polygamist, or a woman for that matter, would be barred from church leadership.
Yeah.
According to the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not Donna and Richard's
no.
rule. They would be barred from leadership. But it's important to remember that even though a man is disqualified from serving as an elder, a deacon, or a pastor, he's still a valued membership of the body of Christ. So that's talking about we hate the sin and love the sinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't treat people that live in sin because we can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You love them, right? And you welcome them. And every mm-hmm. Christian possesses spiritual gifts and is called to participate in edifying other believers with those gifts, as told to us in 1 Corinthians 12:7.
Right.
And a man who is disqualified from the position of elder, deacon, and pastor, they can still teach, preach, serve, pray, and worship, and play an important role in the church. And I would add, as long as we're not talking polygamy relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for me, that would have to be something that I know that they've been convicted of, they've repented of, they've turned from, they've got a plan for their life, you know, moving forward without that.
And I would say that if a person's going to even teach, preach, serve, pray, worship, what have you, which again, I'm going more to the teach and the preach side of things.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they have to have a conversation with their overseer.
Yes.
If there's a bishop that they're reporting to or the pastor of their church, they need to have a conversation together and talk about what are the things that are they're are allowing them to speak on and to teach and preach on. I think that's very important because that person is your overseer and they have a responsibility for you and they have a responsibility for the greater flock.
Amen.
And so you just can't let anyone step into to a role of teaching and preaching and sending people down a wrong path.
That's right.
So I think that's an important conversation. It has to happen for
lots
people.
Lots of conversations.
People can still
happen.
Serve the church.
Absolutely.
It's just saying from a leadership standpoint, they've disqualified themselves from being in that position.
You have to be very careful. We've we've learned and been in ministry for quite some time, you know, over 20 years or so. And you just, you know, we've taken our lumps that way with putting people in leadership positions that have influence in the community, you know, or they're friends of ours, you know, and that doesn't bode well. You know, you really have to be prayerful and seeking the Lord on who to put in leadership positions.
Yeah.
So we hope you guys have really enjoyed listening to our series on polygamy. I think this wraps this one up for us. And
even, you know, the modern day view of polygamy, right?
The polyamorous or the, open the relationships,
open marriages,
stuff.
It's all kind of a piece of that.
Yeah.
You know?
So we hope that you have found it helpful. If you have any questions, concerns, suggestions, thoughts, marriageminuteatrevivalnow.com.
Yeah.
I was going to give you a website.
Yeah.
And so marriageminuteatrevivalnow.com. You can send us your questions, thoughts, and insights.
Yeah.
Also, please like and share our content. We'd love to get this content and material out far and wide because our heart is to have you all learn and grow and impact your families and those families around you for generations to come. So,
amen.
Thank you for joining us. We love you.
God bless you guys.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.